Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, all those who are hearing me tonight. Greetings. Thank you all for being here. This is Najami Lazama, a.k.a. Bushwoman. Thank you for joining the Bush is Swelling Show. It is going to be hot tonight. We are going to be talking about the pangs. The pangs of premature ejaculation. So, welcome again. This is Bushwoman, and welcome to the Bush is Swelling Show. We are your hosts, the speaker, MC, and Bushwoman. And first, we really would like to thank our sponsors, the Love Journey Show, Blog Talk Radio. Glad you're here to join us for your orgasmic listening pleasure on the Bush is Swelling Show. Now, the Bush is Swelling Show explores sexual wellness through mental masturbation. So tonight, we want you to relax, sip on some wine, and indulge in some dark, sweet chocolate, why don't you, as we engage you in sexy, sensual, stimulating conversation about why your libido went bye-bye and everything that is enhancing sexual wellness. So let me just put this preamble. We are not doctors. just bringing the information to you so you can begin taking responsibility for your own sexual wellness. Stimulating and igniting the fire between the sheets, boosting your sexual self-confidence to stir up the passion in your relationship. Learning about the bush, natural and herbal concoctions for nourishment and tapping into your soulful sexual wellness. And expanding your sexual vocabulary, honey, as you discover a new way to think about toys and their healing benefits. So when you tap into your soulful sexual wellness and when you use the bush concoctions, you can begin to liberate your being as you engage in and embrace your orgasmic awareness through the art of communication. So we welcome you to join our conversations tonight that tease the senses and titillate the body and the soul. And you can ask questions you always wanted to ask. Don't be shy, because we are adults here. This is an adult program. So we ask your inner bushman, woman, get your sexual wellness and live empowered lifestyles today. So if you are having challenge, you can call in to talk to the guest, talk to the host tonight. The number to call in is 1-602-753-1902. Again, 602-753-1902. If you'd like to call in to listen or to speak with us, we'd love to have you in the conversation. So tonight, we are continuing with part two of our premature ejaculation that we did a couple of weeks ago. The Bush and Swelling Show comes on the first and third Saturday of every month. So we're here. And tonight, I am so honored, so honored to have this sister on tonight. We are dealing with part two of premature ejaculation. What are some of the causes? How we can support our men, how we can be there for them, how we can get the shame out of this sensitive issue. Because a lot of times, a lot of men may not say anything about it because they feel ashamed. And we need to understand that diet and living lifestyles have a lot to do with that. So we want to help you to reprogram your conditioning. So tonight, we have a special guest, Dr. Pamela Ye Wong Hall. And I must say, Black History Month, Women's Month, whatever month, the sister really, really has an impressive portfolio. So let me just read you a little bio about the sister here. Sister Pamela Ye Wong Hall has set on the path of healing and entrepreneurship at a young age and over the years. She has earned a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Management from the University of Baltimore. She became a Maryland State Licensed Esthetician, a Reiki Master, and Certified Tantra Instructor. Continuing, in the path of healing, she is now the first student to graduate from Maryland University of Integrative Health, earning the degree of Master of Acupuncture, Master of Oriental Medicine, and Doctor of Oriental Medicine. All three degrees, mind you, in 3 years with honors. She is the first native-born African-American female doctor of Oriental medicine in the state of Mississippi. And we definitely have to honor those of us who are fulfilling and taking responsibility to bring healing to the community in whatever way that they can, and we honor this sister. And we're going to be talking tonight again about premature ejaculation and talking from a standpoint of Tantra, how Tantra can help to heal the situation, some herbs, some things that will help you to be the better you sexually. So let me introduce Sister Dr. Pamela Ye Wong Hall. Dr. Hall, are you on? Hello? Hello? I guess there may be a little technical difficulties here. Okay, so we are going to talk about, well, we are waiting for her to come on. Dr. Hall?
I'm here.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Dr. Yes, I'm hearing you now. I'm hearing you now. Okay, you know
awesome,
how technology
awesome.
Happens to go. Were you able to hear me before?
Yes. And I was saying thank you so much for the humble honor and privilege of being on your show. I really appreciate you for giving me the space to contribute to your listeners. Of course, I give honor to the Creator and my ancestors, without either of whom we would not be here. And, of course, I give honor to all of my Reiki masters, my Tantra master, Master Yao Morris Nyamiki. I'm truly thankful to be able to continue the path and the healing tradition of all of our ancestors. Even in my bloodline, I'm thankful and humbled because we know it's on their shoulders that we stand, and we continue to heal the community through the grace of God and through the strength of everything that they've passed down to us. And I'm thankful.
Ashe. And I believe that we are all definitely connected. I mean, like minds will always connect on a vibration where we share similar energy to help others. We are those servants, agents, or agents of change. So thank you so much for being here on this planet doing what you are doing. I really appreciate you.
Ashe.
So tonight we are talking about premature ejaculation from the primarily from the perspective of Tantra. So can you share with us what is Tantra? For those who don't know.
Well, there are two paths of Tantra. There's the non-active, which is more knowledge-based, just getting information. And then there's the active Tantra, which is what we learn through Master Yao's program in the Grand Trine. And it teaches us that Tantra is not just something that you learn to do. It's who you already are. It's already a part of our natal blueprint. And our design, the way the Creator made us to be, we were created to be orgasmic beings. We were created to be in bliss perpetually. So when we talk about the science of Tantra, we're talking about activating or awakening these principles of higher sexual attributes and behaviors that have been dormant within our DNA. So we're doing lots of energy work. And sometimes people get Tantra confused with Kama Sutra. You know, Kama Sutra deals a lot with the actual physical sex and connecting in that way through different positions. The Tantra is the energy work that you put in to help you heal your body and heal to the point at the cellular level to where you can really enjoy Kama Sutra. So this is what I tell people, even my students, that Tantra heals you so that you can experience a higher level of bliss and so that you can enjoy all the Kama Sutra.
Dr. Ye Wang, I love the name Ye Wang, if you don't mind calling that. Let me introduce you, which I, you know, it's been a long day, my co-host, Miss, the speaker MC, Marcia Chambers. Marcia, are you on? Marcia, okay, we're having a lot of technical challenges tonight. So let's, can Marcia may come in at some point in time during the show. Marcia has had a very long day. Marcia, are you there?
Yes, I'm on. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Great. Yes, I'm hearing you now. Marcia, meet Dr. Pamela Ye Wang, and I really did an injustice here tonight. I didn't introduce who we were. I did say, Speaker MC, Marcia Chambers, my co-host, fabulous woman, fierce warrior as well. Marcia, say hi.
Hi, Dr. Ye Wang. Hi. So happy to have you on the show tonight. And you are talking about a topic that I live by, because I tell people all the time, we were here, we came here to enjoy sex. And, you know, the fact that our spiritual awakening and our higher sexual attributes, people just seem to have been sleeping on that. Yes, yes. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's a pleasure to hear about this topic. Thank you, Najami, for inviting our guest.
You're welcome. So I've heard Dr. Yewong that people talk about tantric sex and Kama Sutra sex as if it's the same thing. And I have a friend of mine, he and his wife are raw vegans, and they have agreed to abstain from sex because they believe that sex burns up the energy of the body, so they say. I don't know, but I don't agree with that, though. So we're talking about premature ejaculation tonight and how it relates to, I said, you know, as there's a certain passage that says to every man his own order, yeah? So that's mm-hmm. their order. Go ahead, right on. So premature ejaculation, and this is such a sensitive topic because so many men in all relationships experience this. And I know that there are remedies if one put the work to doing them, they can actually get the relief of what they do. So you explained Tantra so beautifully. What made you get into this profession, if you don't mind my asking?
As far as Tantra or just the healing profession, period?
The healing profession, that expands into Tantra and all the other things you do.
Well, actually, it started when I was a little child. I was in a severe burn accident. It burned both of my hands. And my father told me that after the doctor had finished treating my hands, that he put my hands inside his hands and prayed. And he told my mother and father that he had done all that he could do and that the rest was up to God. But according to Western medical science, I would never be able to use my hands again. So my grandmother began to use natural remedies on my hands. So needless to say, not only did God heal my hands, but now I use my hands as a vehicle of healing others. How I discovered Tantra was actually in church when I was married. The other couples, other women in church, because I wasn't raised in church, you know, I had a heathenistic background, they would say. And so a lot of the women who had been raised in church and didn't have a lot of sexual experience would come to me and ask me for help in that area. And I would teach them different things and tell them different things to help spice up that area of their relationship. And it spun off from there where I began to teach an intro to Tantra and Kama Sutra. And then someone came to one of my classes and told me about Master Yao and Grand Trine. And the moment I met him, we just clicked. I took all of his classes and everything, and the rest, they say, is history.
Okay, great. That's fantastic. So in regards to premature ejaculation, and I would love to hear what are your insights. What really causes premature ejaculation? And how can we... what can men do to help themselves with this situation here?
Well, there are scientists think there are several causes for it, because, you know, sex begins in the mind. Everything begins in the mind. And when it comes to premature ejaculation, they say about 31% of the male population are dancing with this issue. The things that can cause it, well, first of all, they say that premature ejaculation is anytime a man releases himself in 2 minutes or less of intercourse, that's considered the definition of premature ejaculation or coming too fast. Some of the things that can cause that is, you know, the yoni is just so good, and especially if he hasn't had any in a minute, and he gets with the sister and it's just so good and the energy is so good when he gets in it, sometimes that can just cause an unintended explosion. And some of the other things that can cause premature ejaculation are anxiety, guilt, and depression. And those are all emotional. They all stem in the emotion. if the man is feeling anxious, and sometimes we create anxiety within our men with this, you know, this high demand for them to perform. And sometimes we expect them to compete with our sex toys, the vibrators, the dildos, the rabbits, and all those things that we have, some of us have. And it creates anxiety within them. And sometimes their body responds and by prematurely or coming too quickly. Depression is a big factor. You know, we have, especially within the Black community, the unemployment rate, even though it's down nationwide, it's still extremely high amongst Black people. And, you know, that affects them. When men see that Black women are the most educated group in the United States of America, not that we shouldn't strive for excellence, when they see that, you know, black female are the number one creators of businesses in America, sometimes, you know, if they don't have a strong constitution, it can have an effect on them. And they can see themselves as not being good enough. And it can affect their performance in the bedroom.
Wow. Dr. Yiwang, this is Speaker MC. Dr. Yiwang, this is Speaker MC. I just wanted to ask you a question here. I know that cultural incidences can also affect the premature ejaculation, especially if these young men or young boys are used to the shame and the guilt that's associated with maybe masturbating, and, you know, they get conditioned to hurry it up, finish it off really quickly. Do you think that that is a viable excuse, so to speak?
I do think that that plays a role, especially with pornography, excessive exposure to pornography, and that gives them an unrealistic view of sex and performance. Because, you know, when you look at the porn, they try to bang it out within a few minutes, you know, get in, get out, and, you know, no one really thinks about the fact that it may have taken 10, 20 takes to get that 5 minutes worth of show.
Right.
And the shame that we as women, as mothers, center around our sons when it comes to masturbation. We set the groundwork for how they view sex and how they view women. Yes, the men too, but we know the mothers are the first teachers. When we have them at our breast nurturing, we are developing the mindset and how they're going to interact with and respect women, and even the relationship that they have with their own bodies. We're the ones who initially are changing their diapers and viewing their body parts. And with my
son,
my only son, when I would change his diaper and I would wash him, clean him, I would always smile because I wanted to reinforce in his mind that his body is beautiful, that he is beautiful. Just those positive affirmations beginning as a child. When he became of age, you know, I always made sure that we had open communication, that he could talk to me about anything. And so when he came of age and, you know, started exploring, I remember I was cleaning his room one day and I found this magazine. It was, you know, it wasn't a porn or anything, but it was a magazine, like a swimsuit type magazine. And it was a edition, and it had all the women who had ever been on the cover for like 30 years of this magazine. And I found it, and before I said anything to him about it, I checked in within myself, and I said to myself, how I respond to him in this moment, it major implications on him going forward for the rest of his life. Because, you know, first thought is to freak out, like, oh my God, why would you have this? Oh, you're dirty. Oh, you're a pervert. You're da 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 da. That's, you know, the natural first response, and that creates the shame and the guilt. We implant that seed in our boys. We do it. We start that off. And so I came to him. I told him, I said, hey, I found your magazine in your room. I wasn't really snooping. I was cleaning up. And he looked like he could have pooped bricks. And he was standing there. I saw every muscle in his body just tense up. It was like he was bracing himself for me to explode on him. And I smiled at him. I smiled at him, and he kind of threw him off, like, huh? I smiled at him. I said, you like this magazine? Yes, ma'am. I said, these women are beautiful. He said, yes, ma'am. I said, when you grow up and get married, would you want your wife to dress like this for you? He said, yes, ma'am. I said, okay. I said, okay, and gave him his book. And
how old was he?
He was 13.
Okay, that's good.
He was 13. And so he started talking to me about masturbation. And he started talking to me about nocturnal emissions and waking up. And, you know, by this time, his father and I were divorced. And so he began to talk to me about these things. And he began to talk to me about masturbation and all of that. And so I had to talk to him about, you know, being conservative with his seed release. Because now I'm going to put my Doctor of Oriental Medicine hat on for a second. from a Chinese medical standpoint, young men, well, men period, should be having a seminal release, a fluid release, 10% times their age. So if you're if a man in his 20s, he should be having a release every 2 days, his 30s every 3 days, his 40s every 4 days, and so on for healthy males. The reason why ancient medicine, and in between that time, you should be retaining your seed. The man should be retaining his seed, because every time a man has a release, he's releasing what the ancients called jing, J-I-N-G, which is your natural prenatal chi, the primal chi that you're born with, that helps you to live a long life. So every time they release, they literally are dying just a little bit, which is why the ancients practiced things such as Tantra, so that they could learn to redirect that energy and conserve it and create like a circular orb or orgasmic orb, and using the Kundalini energy to help promote life. But they never believed that you should never have sex or never have a seminal release as a man, because the not having that release regularly creates stagnation in the body, and stagnation in the body leads to dis-ease over long term. So that's why you will never find an ancient text that talks about prolonged abstinence. Never. And I've had some of my patients that they've come in and I felt their pulses, because on the pulse, the body doesn't lie. People lie, but the body does not lie. And when you're doing a pulse diagnosis on someone, I can feel if somebody hasn't had sex in a while. And I have literally told some of my patients, I need you to go somewhere this weekend and just get your back broke out. Get your back broke out.
How does the pulse register that? What does it show? I mean, is it that the rate is so small, or the pulse is just so weak?
The pulse is weak. The pulse is weak, and in some people it's non-existent. And even with married couples, sometimes I scare the crap out of people, because the body doesn't lie. You can tell if somebody is mad at God by feeling their pulses. You can tell if somebody is worried about their finances by feeling their pulses. You can tell if somebody is in the midst of making decisions and they're at a crossroad. You can tell if somebody is tired of being the one always making decisions. And you can definitely feel anxieties around sex or lack of sex on the pulse.
Where is this pulse, Doctor or Doctor Yuang? Where is this pulse on the body? In the hand?
It's on the wrist.
I'm curious, because I'm trying to find a pulse on my head to see if I can read.
You know what? With my class, with my tier one Tantra class, I will be teaching my students a little bit of pulse diagnosis.
Great.
So they'll be able to feel the pulse.
We're going to go for a short break at 9:30. We're going to come right back and really share on some of maybe some exercises, if you have any breathing exercises or things we can do to help to relax this energy of the premature ejaculation.
Okay, awesome.
Great.
happily excited by your cologne, your hands, your smile, your intelligence. You woo me, you caught me, you tease me, you please me, you school me, give me something to think about.
Hi, darling. This is Bushwoman along with the speaker MC, and we are on the Bush is Swelling Show. Thank you. You're on the right channel. Thank you for taking time out to listen, to chime in the conversation. And if we would love to have you chime in on the conversation, you can call in at 1-602-753-1902. Again, 602-973-1902. We'd love to have you chime in and talk about this sensitive issue or things that you may have done to help your situation, or even sisters, what you may have done to help your partners, or males if you have partners and your partners, if that's the case. So again, we have on our show tonight, the Bush is Swelling Show, has Dr. Pamela Yuwang Hall. Sister is a master. I would say master because I heard her a couple of days ago on a show and she was so fabulous. She said, we women are masters manifestors. So I know that she's already a master teacher, tantric teacher, acupuncturist, Chinese herbologist and acupuncturist. And we are talking about some of the causes, the benefits, the healings, because we are about supporting our men, making sure our men gather together, because without our men, listen, I'm of the same school like Dr. Yuwang. I hate to hear sisters say, we don't need a man. I don't need a man. I don't know, I think we all do, and it's important. That's one of the things that Bush Women Conversations Project is about. Bush Women Conversations Project is about co-creating and bringing women and men together to create co-create healthy communities. So Dr. Hall, Dr. Ye Wong, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
I love the idea of what you said, the story you shared with your son. Not to allow him to feel shame. And I am of the same mindset. I gave my son the Tao Art of Sex, Kama Sutras, to read, the sexual positions. I had him read certain things. And I showed him how to use a condom on a banana at a young age. And funny thing that when he went to his grandmother's house, excuse me, and she saw him reading the Tao Art of Sex, she tried to shame him. She says, why are you reading that book? What are you reading that book for? And then she spoke to me about it. I said, well, what is wrong with that book? I mean, that's how we all got here. It is important for us to understand the energy of sex, because misused energy of sex can really lead to physical dysfunctions, correct? That's what we're talking about, yes, Doc?
Wait, you were kind of breaking up. You said can what?
I'm sorry, we're talking about
dysfunction.
Sorry, where did you get cut off at?
When your mother came to you and was talking to you about the book, The Tao of Sex,
right.
That you saw your
son. Yeah, she was kind of questioning why I had. Yeah, she was questioning why I had my son reading that sexual book. And I explained to her that it was important for him to learn about sex, that sex is nothing wrong with it. It's how we all got here. And nature has sex all the time. You know, when the wind blows and it blows the pollen to pollinate and fertilize the plants or the fruit trees or whatever, that's having sex in of itself, not so? I think so.
Yes, yes.
You know?
I mean, the whole plant, when you look at creation, all of creation is sensual. It's so
that's
sensual,
right?
And sexual. It really is. The creative process, the divine creative process, is very, very deeply sensual. And I think, going back to what you were saying, we have to be mindful of not creating shame. And I know, like with my mother, they didn't talk to us about sex. You know, when my menstrual came on, I thought I was hemorrhaging to death. I had never even heard of a menses. They just didn't talk. When my mother was married to my father and getting ready to give birth to me, she asked the nurse, why am I hurting down there? And they told her, this is where your baby's going to come out. And she took a deep breath and sucked me back up, and she was in labor for 5 more hours. She didn't even know that I was going to come out of her vagina, because they just didn't talk about sex, because they felt that if you talk to the children about it, it would make them go out and do it. But guess what? They were going out and doing it anyway. So I think it's good to prepare and arm our children with proper information, as you did with your son, by giving him the book on sex and on tantra, to prepare him, because one day he will be, our sons will be someone's husband. They will be someone's father, and they need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. They need to be prepared for the bedroom. And I know you had asked about some herbs that some of the men could take, some Chinese medical herbs. And I want to advise everyone, because each of us are individuals, and some of us have underlying physical conditions that others may not have, and we have to take those things under consideration. I tell people all the time, what bakes my bread might burn yours, and what bakes your bread might leave mine raw. So
please
see your primary care physician before beginning any herbal regimen, because even though they are natural and they are herbs, they are still medicine, and they can have counteractive effects on any pharmaceutical medications that you may be taking. So I just want to put that out there. But there's some major herbs, one called Tonget Ali, T-O-N-G-K-A-T-A-L-I. It's known as the Asian Viagra. It increases your sexual desire. It increases libido and performance. And it does this by increasing the testosterone levels. Now, if you take too much of it, you'll get insomnia, and you'll be a little restless. So it's always best to start with low dosages with that because it's a very, very powerful herb. There's another herb called Cassandra. See, I would have to be with someone to see do a complete health panel on them because what's low for someone, for one person, might be too high for someone else. But I would say if you're going to be looking at grams, you can never be too wrong by starting out with 2 to 3 grams. Start out with 2 to 3 grams and then gradually increase. But it's better to start low and increase than to start high and do damage and then have to decrease. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes.
So I would say start like 2 to 3 grams.
Right. Doc, let me ask you a quick question about the same herb. I've seen the health food stores in Brooklyn, New York, that they sell it loosely, already prepackaged. So women can take this as well. This is primarily for men.
Primarily for men. All of these herbs are for men, for erectile issues, for penile issues.
Okay. Great. So the next herb. As you were saying.
The next herb is Cassandra, S-C-H-I-S-A-N-D-R-A. And this one you can take regularly, even as a tonic. It increases the sexual fluids, sexual endurance. It helps to alleviate fatigue. It strengthens the sex organs. And it helps you to relax. The third one is Tribulus Terrestris, T-R-I-B as in boy, U-L-U-S, second word, T-E-R-R-E-S-T-R-I-S. It strengthens erections. It strengthens the libido. It also strengthens fertility because it increases your testosterone level. Now, with this one, they really have to be careful not to overdose because if you take too much, it'll increase the estrogen levels in men and they will develop man boobs. So you want to be very, very careful with that one. Make sure you start with a low dosage with that one. And, of course, you know, ginseng is always good for relieving stress and increasing performance. Too much ginseng can increase your blood pressure and create insomnia, though. So even with ginseng, it's like a wonder herb, but you still would want to be careful with it, especially if you have a history of hypertension. You really want to be careful with ginseng. Epidemia, also known as horny goat weed, and also known in the Chinese manuals as yin yang ho.
Okay.
So you can look it up. You can find it under both names, Yin Yang, Y-I-N-Y-A-N-G, and the third word is Ho, H-U-O. And it's also known as the Chinese Viagra. That's why they nicknamed it the horny goat weed, because it turns you into a horny goat. And it's actually more effective than Viagra and Cialis. And that was discovered in the 2008 clinical study. Now, so, some of the, you asked about a breathing exercise.
Yes.
A breathing exercise, and this is something men and women can do.
Great.
I'm going to teach you all how to find an acupuncture point on your body that you can apply pressure to. This point helps to increase your sexual desires, increase your libido. Put one finger on your belly, the center of your belly button. Put another finger at find the very top of your pelvic bone. And the space, the length between your belly button and the top of your pelvic bone, divide that in half. And that is where you will find this particular acupressure point that is used, that I use even with my patients that I treat for sexual issues, male and female. And you can apply gentle pressure. You don't have to press down real hard. You just apply gentle pressure in that area 3 to 4 times a day for a few minutes. And you'll be opening up that meridian and helping to stimulate that area.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, again, you find this point by measuring the center of your belly button to the top of your pelvic bone. You find where your pelvic bone begins. Divide that space in half and apply pressure right there. And as you find pressure to that area, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. Uh-huh.
As you are applying gentle pressure to that area, of course, you want to sit with your spine straight. And yet, you know, your back is straight, your spine is straight, and yet your body is relaxed, your shoulder muscles are relaxed, and focus your mind on that point. Focus your attention and your energy on that point. And inhale deeply and slowly. And when you're inhaling, you want to inhale from your diaphragm. So as you inhale, your stomach should be expanding out. And as you exhale, your stomach should be contracting back in gently and naturally. Slow, rhythmic, deep breaths, putting your focus on that point. That's a breathing exercise that men and women can both do.
Dr. Yuong, this is great. Is that the same area as your sacral chakra?
The sacral chakra is a little higher.
Oh, it's a little higher. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. The sacral chakra is a little higher. This particular area on the body, in acupuncture, we call it the CV line, conception vessel. Excuse me. And it is the yin line of the body. It begins at the center of the perineum, CV1, and it goes straight up the center of your body and ends in the center of the crease in your chin. And its counterpart, a complementary part, the yang vessel, also we call it the GV vessel, governor vessel. It begins at the tip of your coccyx bone, goes straight up the center of your spine, comes all the way around the front of your face, and ends at the gum line, right in the center of your gum between your two front teeth. So when you're looking at the chakras, that is the pathway. Those are the two pathways, or the meridian channels that energy travels through.
That's interesting. And I have one more question about the herbs. Isn't hawthorn or hawthorn berries also another good remedy for opening up the blood vessels and increasing circulation and the libido?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, hawthorn berries, yes.
Okay.
Goji berries are good. You can eat those too. But I just looked at these top herbs because I was asked to discuss a few Chinese herbs.
I got that, and I appreciate that. Because horny goat weed is like the Academy Award winner of the herbs.
Is. They gave that the right nickname, I'm here to tell you. Now that more and more people are finding out about it, it's becoming more and more challenging to get a hold of. But that's because it works.
Wow.
All these herbs that you mentioned, do you brew them as a tea to drink them? Do you bake them in your cookies? I mean, how do you now administer that so that you don't overdose on it?
That is a great question. That's a great question. You can, there's some websites that you can look up where you can order them, and the work has already been done, and they put it in pill form. Some of them mm-hmm. even have like a vegan capsule. But if you're going to get the raw herbs, first of all, you want to have your hands gloved because, you know, again, even though it's a herb, it's still medicine. And sometimes when your skin comes in direct contact with herbs, it can create, because of the strength of the herb, it can cause a skin rash. So you want to be careful with that. Always have your gloves on, non-latex gloves, because you don't want to get powder into your herbs.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people when they're going to be dealing with raw herbs, when they're decocting them, I recommend alkaline water and not fluoridated water. Alkaline water, I recommend Essentia water to my patients because so far that's the highest alkaline water that I've seen that can be purchased in the stores. It's easily accessible, and it's at a 9.5 pH level. And get 16 ounces of that, put it in a pot with your herbs, let them sit and seep, let them sit for 45 minutes. Then bring it to a boil. Bring your water to a boil with the herbs. Then turn it down. Once it gets to a rolling boil, turn it down and let it simmer. You want to have the top on. Turn it down, let it simmer for 45 minutes. Drain that off with the remaining herbs. Add another 4 ounces of water. Bring that to a boil. Turn that down, let that simmer for another 45 minutes, and then add it to your first mixture. Now you've gotten all the juicy goodness out of the herb. And you can, I recommend to my patients divide it by four, however much they have left, divide that by four, and take it twice a day.
That's really good. I'm going to go look for some horny goat wheat.
Yes, and I always recommend that you with my patients, don't drink it cold. Don't drink
Why?
It cold. Because cold damages the spleen. And so I always want people to be mindful of what they do that can cause damage to the spleen. So, you know, if you're eating dinner, don't drink anything with ice while you're eating your dinner. Either if you're going to drink a cold beverage, drink it half hour before you eat or half hour after you've eaten. When it comes to consuming the herbs, it doesn't necessarily have to be piping hot like a tea, but at least at room temperature, not cold. Because you don't want to damage your spleen. Your spleen is extremely important in the body, extremely important, because your spleen is responsible for transforming and transporting nutrients all over your body. And when that gets damaged, it takes a while to heal the spleen. And long-term damage of the spleen it shows up in signs that look like attention deficit disorder and Alzheimer's. So I always tell people, be careful of your spleen. Be careful, careful, careful of taking care of your spleen.
So all those cold beers that people drink, that can be very damaging.
Now, if you're hanging out, you know, yeah. But if you regular, I was out today with a group of people in a meeting, and it just surprised the waitress. She was like, "Oh, what would you like?" I was like, "I'll take the pomegranate tea with no ice." She was like, "Would you like a cup of water?" "Yes, I'd like some water with no ice."
I like that.
Think about it. Have you ever seen a 100-year-old Asian woman or man drink anything while they're eating their dinner?
No, you're right. But you know, it's so funny that you say that, because that's something that I was raised to do, to eat and drink at the same time. Now that I've grown, I'm hearing no, you should do one at a time. And I've kind of mastered that now, you know, and it was so seamless. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't see a lot of people doing the same thing, eating and drinking at the same time, because there must be a reason, right?
Yeah, because it damages the spleen. Because most of the time, especially in America, if we're drinking while we're eating, we're drinking something cold.
Yes.
And
so funny how we've been lied
don't
to.
Don't even drink. Time. As you look at people, like even with my grandmother who lived to be over 100 years old, looking at how they ate and drank at the same time, but she had hot tea. She didn't drink anything cold while she was eating. She either did it a half hour before or a half hour afterwards. She gave her spleen enough opportunity to process and distribute the nutrients in her body.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. Now, and you had asked about things that women can do to support our men.
Yeah, but before we go into that conversation, Doc, if we go a little over, are you okay? Are you willing to be on with us if we go over a little after 10?
Oh, yes, ma'am, yes.
Sure, this conversation is so juicy and so informative. I mean, because,
time
need to...
Time just goes so fast.
Yes, especially when the conversation is really, really good. So we're going to answer that question regarding what we women can do to support our men. And Marcia, if we have any guests on, maybe we can hear what they would like to add or chime in. So, Doc, what can we women do to support our men during this sensitive issue here?
Well, some of the things that we can do to support our men is to be a safe space for communication for them and not throw it back in their face as ammunition in later arguments. One of the toughest things that some of my male patients have confided in me about is their inability to talk to their wives or their girlfriends the way they're able to talk to me. Because I let them know that when they come into the treatment room, that this is a safe space. And then I point to myself and I say, and this is a safe space too. For them to be vulnerable, I create the space for them to be authentic. I create space for them to cry. There have been some of my male patients that I've literally held in my arms like a baby. I'm talking about big linebacker-looking fellas. Held them in my arms and let them cry because they felt safe to do so without being judged and knowing that, as a doctor, of course, there's the confidentiality piece, but, also as a human being, we have to create space for our men to be vulnerable. I mean, think about it. Where do they have that they can go besides the bosom of their woman? Women, we have ladies' night in, ladies' night out, girls' trip, girls' vacation, girls' staycation. We have everything. We have room where if a woman can call and cry and there's 1,000 shoulders for her. Men don't have that same space. And when they do show any signs of vulnerability, we call them punks, all kind of stuff. We just add more logs on their back. So I would say as women, one of the first things that we have to do is, and it doesn't take anything away from us because we have our girls' groups. We have our women's everything, empowerment groups, empowerment. We have everything. They really don't have anything at all when you think about it. So in recognizing that, and it doesn't diminish anything from us as women, it doesn't take away from us as being strong women or anything like that. I think the strongest woman is a woman who can allow a man space enough to heal and to be without judging him or castrating him. Because we will castrate a man with our tongue so quick and then wonder why he can't perform in the bedroom. We will tear him down with our words and then question why he can't get it up. Why would he want to? Why would his subconscious mind want to make love to someone who has just torn him down and emasculated him? So we have to be a safe space for our men to be able to trust us, handle them when they're weak and vulnerable and need a shoulder to cry on, and realize it doesn't take away from their manhood when we allow them to be vulnerable. And it helps them to live longer when they can relieve that stress.
Preach, doctor, preach, yes.
And we have to stop putting so much pressure on them to perform. Your man will never be able to lick you the way that rabbit vibrates on your clitoris. It just ain't going to happen. His penis will never be able to perform at the lightning speed of the luxury bullet or the glow-in-the-dark vibrator. There is no comparison. And so we have to stop putting pressure on them to perform. We have to stop and just let it be. I was telling someone the other day, I can't have sex with a man that I can't laugh with in the middle of it. Like, just don't take it so seriously.
Yes.
But yeah, your sweat is really dropping in my eye right now. You know. You know, I like to be to someone I can laugh with. It takes the pressure off.
That's right. I agree.
And then they can be able to get the moment. And a lot of men said that. A lot of men have told me that they don't always like making the first move, that they want to too. They want to feel wanted too. They want to feel desired too. Pat him on the booty sometimes. Fine he is.
Hello.
Yes. And be like, you know what? You know, the texture chocolate. You know, you looking mighty fine over there in them jeans. You know, they like to be complimented too. Because, you know, they have this thing called the ego.
Yes.
And it has to be stroked long before you get to stroke the other thing.
Yes, yes.
Because that's all in the mind. So give him something to look forward to anticipate. You know, build him up. Just like we were saying, you made reference to the other show the other night where I talked about women being the ultimate of creators. We are. And we have the ability to destroy a man. But we also have the ability to build him up and to create him and to pull that king out of him in life and in the bedroom.
Okay.
And in the bedroom. And so by creating an environment that's not filled with stress, when it comes home, you think about everything that we go through as a people. And that when that makes comes home, he's already been fighting a battle out in the street or on the job. He doesn't want to come home and have to fight another battle.
Right.
So be his peace. Be his peace when he comes home. Look, I'm from Mississippi, and so I know some, you know, there's some who may or may not feel what I'm about to say, but we, you know, kind of been raised
on
Rub your man's feet. Have his bath water in the tub ready for him. Wash his back.
Make him
feel like the king that he is. Build him up so that he'll be able to build up down there. Because if he's torn down in his mind, his penis will be limp and torn down too.
That's right.
In the mind. Anxiety, guilt, depression, all of those, they start in the mind.
Mental.
Build his mind. Build up his big head so that you can build up the smaller head.
Amen.
Because the two are connected.
The church said amen.
The two are connected. The two are connected. They are connected.
That's right.
They are connected. Speak life to the end. Every book that I have ever read about successful men, they give credit to two people, God and whatever woman is in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Those are successful men. So, ladies, I charge you, if the man that you're involved with is unsuccessful, what role have you played? If successful men, if every successful man who has ever written a book about himself or ever had a book written about him give credit to God and the woman that was in their life, that speaks volumes. Create, be the creative force that we were created to be. There's the creator, Almighty, and then there's the co-creator, us. Women, we are the closest thing on earth to God. The closest thing on earth to God. And with the power of our words, we have the ability to build up men that go out and create a nation or to tear them down. So I said, build him up. Speak life to his big head so that you can bring life to his smaller head. And learn Tantra. Learn the energy skills that you need in order to create an environment of healing for him. Learn it so that you all will be able to work on each other, so you'll be able to heal each other. There have been times when there was this one brother I worked on in D.C. during a Tantra retreat and had never met the brother before, you know, never seen him before. Master Yao told me, he pointed to me, he said, I want you to work on him. I said, okay, I just went straight over there and started working on him. And within about 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, he curled up in a ball on the table and began to cry.
Oh, wow.
And I just held him. He experienced a healing moment, a breakthrough. There were some unresolved issues that he had with his mother and his wife. Mm. And he curled up in a ball and cried, and I held him, and I held the space for him. And even though there were a room full of people in that moment and in that space that I created for him, he felt like there was nobody in the room but me and him.
Wow.
And he tried to apologize. He tried to apologize. No, you don't have to apologize for anything. I want you to heal. Let it out. You are okay. You are okay.
Right.
And then he just broke. When he saw that I wasn't judging him, that I wasn't viewing him as being less than a man, I created the space for him to get the healing and the breakthrough that he desperately needed from issues that had been deeply rooted in him for years. We can be that. Our men should not have to seek out others to get that from. They should be able to find it at home with us.
Yes, yes.
They
and the church says, yes,
to.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There was this one brother.
Dr. Yuwang, before you continue, we have some callers on the line that have some questions. Are you able to entertain some questions?
Sure.
Okay. Caller with the ending in 2738. I will unmute you. What is your question? 2738. Caller, you're on the line.
Great healing, great blessings, Dr. Iwa. This is the Emir J. Otto Price III. I've enjoyed your informative lecture and how you have opened the space for the greatness of God to walk in. And I like how you've done it in such a way that it makes us to know that collectively we are one. We're not a big I or a big U, but we are equal. And when we're balanced and equal, then we can create anything that we desire. And I appreciate you for sharing that with us. The one thing that I really enjoyed the most was to know that in the moment of my life now where I'm not engaging with any one individual or anyone at the moment because I'm in a process of restorative healing for myself, first spiritually, to get my mind right, so that when I do get the chance to experience that amazing yoni that you spoke of, that yes, I will have an explosion of all intensive energies, period. I want that. After I wake up, then we can start having sex. But I appreciate the freedom that you've given us to have that experience, to welcome it, to be the amazing experience that most men. The problem, my son, I was talking about earlier today, was that the challenge that you came up, the very first thing you said was that we have a communication block. No matter how angry you are with me or I'm with you, until we learn to come and talk together, we're not going to ever get a solution. So in this exchange that you're doing tonight, I hope that we are able to at least take that deep breath and says, okay, I'm willing to go that extra distance to make it a true, valiant effort to do the unusual. I want to listen, and I want to talk, and I want to talk, and I want to listen. Otherwise, I'm waiting for you to stop making noise so I can stop making noise. And that's not communication. But the communication that we're talking about is an actual listening exercise. And I was involved with a young lady who asked, can we just sit for 10 minutes in total silence? That was the most erotic 10 minutes I ever had in my life, because the things that my mind was thinking about this woman, and then we got a chance to express them, it was like, ooh, that was pretty powerful. So just to listen to one another's breathing is an amazing experience that most cannot, will not, don't do. Not that we can't, it's just that we don't. Especially in this high-paced world that we are in now, where everything is a microwave switch, we don't slow down to boil water anymore. You stick it in the microwave, boom, 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 it's done. But if we just boil the water, like you was talking about the creating of that tea, the liqueur, that's a time-tested thing, not an instantaneous microwavable of the herb into the bodies. So I appreciate you for sharing and giving the cultural wake-up to the time essence of taking your time. Thank you, Dr. Iwa.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. I really like how he expressed about communicating and listening, not listening to respond. And that's what, unfortunately, a lot of people do. They listen to respond, or they listen to argue. They listen, they wait for that moment where they can jump in and pounce instead of listening to understand where that person is coming from and to find the common ground. And he made me think about something my father said, may he rest in peace. But I love my father. He was a true alpha male, and he was a polygamist. He had 5 women until the day he died. But he was a true polygamist. But my father told me when I was a little girl, he said, sweetheart, he said, when a man is ready to talk, all you have to do is listen. Listen. When he's ready to talk, listen. They're not going to talk until they're ready to. Because when we're ready to talk, we want to be in their face. We want to make them, because we want to be in control. We want to do everything. Like, no, you're going to talk to me. And, we get the finger going and get in their face, and they try to walk away, and we still get in their face. When he's ready to talk, listen. Because by the time he's ready to talk, we've already done the finger waving and the neck snapping and the hip twisting and the yin, 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 yin. But when ready to talk, listen and receive and listen to understand, not to respond or not to fight, but listen so that you can find a place of oneness. Because we cannot as a people, we cannot continue to have this fake battle of the sexes. Men are not our enemies. We are not their enemies. And like I said on the other show, forget what you heard. Brothers, we need you. Men, we need you. And yes, we do need men to survive. have a race where the men and the women are not coming together and see, won't that race disappear in one generation? Wipe off
That's
the face
true.
Of the earth. We need
That's
each
true.
Other to survive. Especially
Beautiful.
In today's climate. Especially in
especially.
Today's climate.
Especially. You are so correct about that. So correct. We have another caller with another question. Do you have a moment to answer this caller, Doctor? It's
yes,
caller
ma'am.
At 3998. Caller 3998. You're on the air with Dr. Yi Wong.
All right. Peace, Doc. My name is Jared. I'm actually the son of the Honorable Emil who just spoke, and I would take the time to thank you as well, but my father kind of blew that out of the water. So, but thank you very much. Anyway, I would like to say that I'm stunned. I had quite a dialogue before you began speaking on the necessity. As soon as you said, like, you know, men, we need you, my entire train of thought just kind of stopped. And, everything just kind of fell apart from there. So my question is at this point, how is it that as a woman, despite everything that black men have failed at with black women, how is it that you still retain this place of mercy for us? And how is that beneficial for women at large?
Wow, that's a good question. That's a good question. And I have to say, and not to sound cliche-ish, but it's very real. The power of forgiveness and having a broad mind. A lot of times people hold on to things that have been done to them, and they internalize it and they process it, and then they build a story around it. And you hear people say, because they had an experience with a couple of people that went a certain way, then they want to say, well, all black men ain't this, or all men are that. No, it's not all black men. It's just the couple of ones that you've interacted with. It's not the, you know, you don't throw the entire race under a bus because you made a selection. You made the selection of the ones that you interacted with. And learning to see the role that I played and some of the circumstances that I experienced, being hard-headed, you know, when my father says, sweetheart, you know, I don't think that fella is right for you. Oh, daddy, but he's so cute. And then next thing you know. And then not holding an entire race of people hostage because we refuse to heal as women. Yes, you know, we all men and women, a lot of times we act like, not all of us, but enough of us to where it's created a major issue in the relationship breakdown of the black family. We act like men don't get hurt. We act like men don't get their hearts broken. We act like men don't cry. We act like men don't experience the same emotional pitfalls and roller coasters that we experience. We have to give each other space to be human and to recover from it. To recover from it. We have to forgive ourselves, and we have to forgive each other. And I know it's a tall pill to swallow. I was a member of the clergy in our Christian church, Holiness Church. And during the first few months of my marriage, being here in Baltimore, young married couple, you know, it was my first time really living away from home like that. I'm from Mississippi. So he brought me here to Baltimore, Maryland, where I knew no one. And a young man in the church came to our home one day and assaulted me and tried to rape me. Thank God he did not succeed. And because of the family that this person was in, the only thing that he was, his only punishment was that he couldn't play the drums for two Sundays at church. And I was told to, you know, not press charges and all that stuff. And they tried to use some twisted scripture to justify it, whatever. But that was a tough pill to swallow. And one day during the conference, I was asked to work the altar. It was like a big thing, a big conference. And then I'm asked to come up and to pray for people as they're coming up, you know, for their issues or whatever. And then who walks up for me to lay hands on him and pray for him? The very same brother who came to my home, beat the crap out of me, tried to rape me, and then told the pastor the reason he selected me was because I was the perfect victim. And I had to lay hands on that brother and pray, and I prayed earnestly for him. I really did. He cried, I cried too. And I have to be honest, there was a part of me that was kind of pissed off with God. Like, how dare you, really? The first time I'm asked to pray, and this is who you send up? But it was a massive lesson for me in learning how to release past hurts and move forward with my life and give him the space to heal and move forward with his too. We were both being held in bondage. So my freedom allowed him to be free. And he got himself together, and thank God, you know, he's living an exemplary life now, but it could have gone a whole different way. And I'm not saying that everybody has that same grace. It takes time. It takes time, but we have to give ourselves that time, and we have to give our men that time, and we have to see one another as being worthy, and we have to look at the bigger picture. We have to look at the bigger picture, because if I had held on to a lot of the negative experiences that I've been through, I would have ended up passing on that same negative, toxic energy to my children. And I would have been raising, I have two daughters. I don't want to raise daughters that go out into the world hating black men. I don't want to raise a son, the only son that I have. I don't want him to grow up feeling this dark cloud hanging over him because he's a black man that is automatically expected of him to not be a good husband, not be a good father, not be a good friend, not be a good community leader. We have to think beyond ourselves and beyond the moment. Our healing is not just for ourselves in the moment. It's for the generations that we're going to birth. So that is how, despite the things that I've been through, my heart has been broken. I've been physically abused. People have stolen money from me. I've experienced some things in relationships, and yet I still believe in love. I still believe in the black man. I will still look at the black man. I will tell people, I've told white people, black man is God. What? You better ask somebody.
You better ask. So we
have to heal so that we can heal them.
So Dr. Ye Wong, on this note, I know we have more callers who want to chime in, and this has been such a juicy conversation that I would love to invite you to come back again and share some more insights, because we can talk, and this conversation is like good food. It's like nourishment for your soul, your body, and your spirit. And I thank the ancestors for blessing you coming this way. I would love to invite you to come back again on our show. I really hope that, you know, our time schedule allows you to, or your time schedule allows you to join us next time. You have an event coming up, or a workshop that you have coming up. Can you share with us what your event is, what's happening?
Yes, I have a Grand Trine Tier 1 certification class for Tantra coming up in Baltimore, Maryland. The dates are May 4th, 5th, and 6th. It's the first weekend in May. I'm really excited. People taking the class will become Tier 1 certified in Tantra. And because I'm a doctor of Oriental medicine, I'm going to be talking about different herbs that you can take, like the herbs tonight, to help enhance your sex drive and your libido for the male and female. And I will be teaching my students extra acupuncture points, like the one I taught you all how to locate tonight. I'll be teaching extra points and combinations of points that you can use to help increase the libido, to help with erectile dysfunction, to help women who are going through menopause, to help relieve them of hot flashes, and to deal with vaginal dryness for women who have already gone through menopause. So it's going to be a real juicy weekend. Real juicy weekend.
Right. Thank you so much for that. And I have spoken to Dr. Ye Wong to see how we can create a collaboration workshop in New York looking at June. So if anyone is interested in partaking in that, they can email me at bushwomanconversations@gmail.com, bushwomanconversations@gmail.com. I will forward you the information. We need 10 people in New York to sign up for this workshop, 10 or more. Is about, can you handle 15, Doc? Is 15 people?
Yes.
All right. So we need over 10 people to sign up for the workshop in New York. We're looking at like around the first or second week in June, I believe 8th, 9th, 10th, because it's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday weekend training. So if you'd like to sign up for this Bush Woman Conversations, at s@gmail.com. And we're getting close to winding down our show here. This has been such a juicy show. I just want to give my event that's happening tomorrow a plug, and then I'll allow Speaker MC to give her event coming up the following week, her plug. My workshop starts tomorrow, my beautiful people. If you're in New York and you're willing to come, it's at Mercado Museum, 80 Hanson Place in Brooklyn, New York, and 7 ways to fall in love with yourself, now and always. How to stop those stinking thinking conversations that is preventing you from not only moving forward in a loving, healthy manner, but stinking thinking affects the health of your organs, it affects the state of your, what you attract. So that's tomorrow evening, and students with college ID, you can pay $25 at the door. As a special, I will keep it at the reduced price tomorrow if anyone comes in tomorrow. The tickets were $49.99. So I'll keep it at $39.99 for you if you show up tomorrow. And it's going to be fabulous. It's going to be fun. Speaker MC, take it away, my dear.
Yes, thank you for that. And Dr. Ye Wong, I would love if you would come on my show, which is the Swell Happy Hour. That's once monthly on the second Wednesday. I would love to speak with you off the air. And my upcoming show is Champagne and Chocolate Conversations. That will be on Saturday, February 24th from 7 to 9 at the Sheraton Brooklyn, New York Hotel. Yes, 3 ways to recover your libido to enjoy more pleasure. We're going to laugh, we're going to talk, and we're going to let you release all your inhibitions at the door. So that's Saturday, February 24th from 7 to 9 at the Sheraton Brooklyn New York Hotel. Tickets are $27. Bring a friend for $7. Hey, it's going to be fun. Champagne and Chocolate Conversations. Thank you.
So thank you all for tuning in, providing us so we can get to everyone tonight. And it has been such a juicy, nourishing, wholesome conversation. And we are going to be signing off in about 60 seconds, I was just told. Thank you all. Love from Bushwoman and the Speaker MC. We appreciate you. The Bushwoman Conversations Project, the Swell, the Speaker MC, we are all here creating the Bush is Swelling show, and we support our men. We love you all. We want to make sure that we have healthy communities, reduce dysfunctional relationships, reduce the divorce rate by 50%. That's the mission of the Speaker MC and Swell. We want to bring healing. We are agents of change, and we are saying we can do it together. Once we work on ourselves and come on. So, Dr. Hall, we got 10 seconds. Thank you so much. Anything you wish to share in about 10 seconds?
Just wanted to give people the website that they can register for the class or purchase the books for the class. It's http://www.grandtrine, grandtrineinternational.com. That's grandtrineint.com/dr.pamela-hall.
World. And although most men are hoes, he goes on the down low, cause I never heard about him with another girl. But I don't sweat it, because it's just pathetic to let it get me involved in that he said, she said crowd. I know that ain't nobody perfect, I give props to those who deserve it, and believe me, y'all, he's worth it. So here's to the future, cause we got through the past, I finally found somebody that can make me laugh. You so crazy, I think I wanna have your baby.
I'm not afraid.